Good morning, everybody. Welcome this morning on a beautiful, beautiful day. Just this morning for some announcements, and the announcements on the back of your bulletin. The Bible study, 10 a.m. on Thursdays, A Heart Like His. If you're interested in that, you need to contact Sandy Reed about that. Fellowship Day of Prayer is on March the 5th. That's at 1:30. And it's going to be hosted by the Cremona Country Fellowship. Easter Choir Practices. Wow. Easter Choir Practice starting on March the 11th, and that'll start at 8 p.m. I'll try to remember that for me. Mustard Seed, Wednesday, March the 17th, and the Elders' Meeting has been moved to Saturday, March the 20th. A few other announcements that I have. Dave and Lori's here, no babies yet, but I predict Tuesday for sure. On that one. A few other things that we need to keep in mind as well. Elma Bird is at home. She did not have a good night last night, so we need to keep her in our prayers as much as possible. Gordon's doing better, and hopefully maybe next week he'll be coming home, but we need to keep praying because he's doing better, so keep it up. Couple of other things. Big game at 1. Go Canada, go, yeah. And actually, that's interesting. This morning I was reading something, and just with all the games and stuff going on with the Olympics, and during our blessing for the dinner, I usually forget some things. And I read something this morning that may help, and so it'll apply. And it's just sort of giving the blessings for the meal and all of that. And then at the end, I decided saying, and Lord, please let me finish this meal before the dropping of the puck in the second period. I'm not sure that I can do that, but I've been trying it all week. It's been a busy week. Are there any other announcements? Lori.
I just wanted to thank everyone who made it to my shower last week, even though I didn't. Thank everyone for your generosity for lots and lots and lots of diapers.
What's the official diaper count?
Are there any other announcements? I have one last announcement. I know where Ian's binder is.
What's he talking about? Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And what about our Olympic athletes, eh? Wow! If he's allowed to pray for the puck not to be dropped before he finishes his lunch, then we can pray for our athletes, especially our hockey team. Great to see everyone. I know birthday has always been a big birthday. February always been a big birthday month in our church, especially around about February the 5th. It always brings us a ton of money in. So we are going to celebrate our February birthdays. If you had a birthday in February or prior to that and missed your opportunity to get into the birthday box,
we'll do that right now. So it's February or prior to that birthday.
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Some great words of reassurance from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's always great to have youth praise leading our worship with choruses and special music. And so, once again, it's great to have youth praise. Welcome.
Sing and roar when the lost began to sing. we're doing is you're worthy of my praise. Now, Claire will be leading the echo. You can sing with whoever you want.
Oh, it's there.
Keep up here.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your master's birth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. And worship you will be exalted, O God.
Big thank you to Youth Praise. They certainly awoken each and every one of us. We are alive to the worship. And we thank you for that. We look forward to seeing youth praise again a little later in the program. So shall we now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy, what a privilege for each of us this morning to be able to come into your house on this your day to worship you. And when we come into this place, Lord, we immediately feel your presence all around us. We see your love as it shines from the faces of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We feel your presence, Lord, in the hugs and the handshakes. We see you in the smiles. And we know that it is good to be here, Lord. And so, gracious Father, as we come to worship you, we pray that you'll accept the praise that we bring, for we seek to bring honor and glory to the precious name of Jesus, who died that we might have this wonderful life. And we come, gracious Father, because each of us have heard your call in the many different ways that that call came to us, to come here today, for we know, Lord, that you have something to say to each and every one of us. Open our hearts, Lord, open our minds, and may we each hear your voice in whatever way you choose to speak to us this day. Accept the praise we bring, Lord, for we come in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 12 and 17 and 18. And in this passage, it tells us that Abram is afraid, but God comes to him to give him some reasons to develop some courage. And it tells us a little bit about how we might fear what lies ahead, but we should remember that God will stay with you through the tough times and the fearful times, and that our trust will reap the blessings from God. Chapter 15 of Genesis. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land from the river. Join me now in the responsive reading, which comes from Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, see his face. Your face, Lord, I see. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me more or forsake me, O God, my Savior.
Though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors.
Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, or false witnesses rise up against me, creeping on the violence.
I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. It is now a great honor and a pleasure for me to be able to introduce the youth praise to do their special music today. And as I come up here, I started thinking about a little bit about this group. And I know I look forward every Sunday that they are playing. And I know most of you know that I'm a teacher and administrator at Cremona School. And when I look at the kids behind me, each one of them takes an active role, not only in this church, but also at the school. And so when I think about them and I see Nick up here and the contributions that he made to Cremona School athletically and academically and also in Students' Council. Will had plays basketball for me. He had a good weekend at basketball games this weekend. Claire, another basketball player, and in one of my classes. Ashley, basketball, volleyball. Then I look at Kate, who has played basketball, she's played volleyball, and she's also coaching with her dad this year. Contributions are unsurmountable. And Jessica, another athlete in our school. Not only are they great athletes, they're also very academically strong and an asset to this church and to the school. Youth praise.
Alleluia. introduced to you the praise of two people, and I did not mention that they appropriately stand on the outside, keeps that group together to provide some musical inspiration and the guidance of our youth group. That's Phil's now.
The last time when Youth Praise sang that piece, Hallelujah, was when Iris and I were kind of out of action and we missed it. And I have never had so much feedback on a piece that our Youth Praise did as when I got to that one. And so I got down on my knees in front of Youth Praise and said, please do it again. Beautiful. Is that going to be on your next album coming out? God brings good out of every situation. Thank you. That was beautiful. Much appreciated. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come before you once again, Lord, and we present our gifts, our tithes and our offerings. We know, Lord, that these gifts are only humble tokens of our gratitude, but we also know, Lord, that you will accept them and that you will accept the givers, and with them you will perform mighty deeds in the name of our mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The children would like to come and join me, please.
Once before, I talked to the boys and girls about a chicken hawk. Now, most of the boys and girls are probably too young to remember what it was about. But everybody else remembers, don't you? Oh, yes. These birds on the screen, which one do you think's a chicken and which one do you think's a hawk? Any ideas? The one on that side. So this one's the chicken, and this one's the hawk. Okay, who thinks that this one is the chicken? Put your hand up. Oh, we've got quite a few votes in the front here. Good. And which one thinks the one on this side is the hawk? Okay. Which one thinks the one on this side is a hawk? Who thinks the one on this side is a hawk? They are both hawks. So why do you think they get called a chicken hawk?
I don't know.
Because they look like chickens and hawks.
They both look pretty much like hawks to me. This one on this side, you've seen that one before. Because it flies around your yard. This one on this side is a red-tailed hawk. And this one on this side is called a Cooper's hawk. Why do you think they both sometimes get called a chicken hawk? Why do you think that is? We have one opinion that one looks like a chicken and one looks like a hawk. Any other ideas why they might get called a chicken hawk? What do you think they might hunt after? They hunt chickens? They hunt chickens and they hunt worms. Well, it should get called a worm hawk. Well, actually, there's only one of these hawks that actually hunts chickens. And it's this one on this side, the Cooper's hawk. This one here, the red-tailed hawk, which is our hawk, which flies around where we live, it doesn't hunt chickens at all. So it gets a bad rap, doesn't it, when people call it a chicken hawk. This is, doesn't go anywhere near chickens. But this one does. This one hunts chickens. Now then, just supposing a hawk, this is our hawk, just supposing a hawk was going to have a fight with a chicken. Who do you think would win? The hawk? If we think about what kind of weapons does a hawk have to fight with? It's got a big beak, hasn't it? And what else has it got? Feet? What's on the end of its feet? These big claws that are called talons. And if it went hunting after something, it would dig those in. And also it's got something else. Is it fast or is it slow? Very fast, isn't it? Got a lot of speed, so it can swoop down. So if we look at the chicken, what does the chicken have to fight with? It's got nothing, has it? It's got nothing at all. It's got no talons and it's got no big sharp beak and it's not very fast. But it has one thing which is going to stop any hawk getting to it. It's got the same as what you've all got. Parents, that's very close. I'm just thinking about one of your parents, though. Which one?
Chicken parents.
That little chick has a mom. And that chick's mom is not going to let anything get near it. So how can a hen protect a chick from a hawk? It does what?
Makes a scary noise.
Chickens do make some funny, scary noises, but that's not how the hen would protect the chick. This is how the hen protects the chick. You see that? Where are the chicks? They're underneath the hen's wings. So the hen puts out her wings, the chicks get underneath, and the hawk, any kind of a hawk that was after those chicks, can't find them. And a hen is too big for a hawk to take on, so the hawk goes away. So a hen protects that tiny little chick from a hawk. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said he's just like that with us. That's right, it hides right under the wings. And Jesus said that's how he wants to protect all of us. It's as if he's got wings and he wants to protect us. Come under the wings and nothing can harm us. That's how much Jesus loves you and I.
I have a better idea.
Oh, here's a better idea. Hide under.
Oh.
No, I don't think we'll announce that one. But that's what Jesus is for us. He protects us. And it's if he's got wings. And he tells us in our Bible reading later on that that's what he wants to do. Spread his wings and protect all of us from anything that could harm us. So shall we just say a little prayer now? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much, that you care for us and you protect us no matter what comes into our lives, as long as we remember to put our faith and our trust in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Are we singing today? Kathy, are we singing? I think we can sing. Okay, thank you.
I think as we see the season starting to change to springtime, yeah! And we are once again taken in by the glory of the world around us, the world that God has created. And when I was preparing the message and the service for today, the hymn that kept resounding in my mind was, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." We stand and we sing to God's glory.
And
Thank you. That was great musical backing. Thank you to your great singing. Good job. Well done. We come to our time of prayer. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Put your hand up if you have something in your heart to praise God about. Those things that we are now praising God about started off as a prayer. And God hears prayer and God answers prayer in his time. And that's the one thing we've always got to try and remember. God answers the prayer in his time. And so we come before the Lord in prayer, having in our hearts and minds our own prayers and petitions, and having the knowledge in our hearts that we eventually praise the Lord for the great things he hath done. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that in your grace and mercy you have chosen us to breathe life into. You have given us a beautiful world to live in, filled with plants and trees and vegetation and food and all wonderful things, and filled with wonderful creatures, great and small. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that you choose to watch over us and protect us, just like a hen gathers her chicks under the safety of her wings. You are so bountiful to us, good Lord, even though we so often choose to go our own way in life and in the world. We make our own choices and decisions, which often include rebelling against your will. And so we ask you to forgive us, Father. Mighty Father, your holiness and your glory would have been beyond our understanding and our imagining were it not for the sacrificial life of our Lord and Saviour Jesus, your beloved Son, our beloved Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you give to us, life full and overflowing, when we choose to give our own lives back to you. Help us, Father, to so live in your grace and holiness that your light may shine from us to guide others through the darkness of this world to the grace of your love. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this time to pray not only for ourselves, for our own needs, but also and especially for others. We have more devastating news this week, Lord, of events in the world. Following the disaster in Haiti, we now have a great disaster in Chile. And our hearts and our prayers, Lord, go out to the people who live in these devastated countries. And our prayers, Lord, go with all of those people who are seeking to bring relief, food, clothing, tents, relief in so many different ways, and to bring to them your precious word, Lord, that you will guide them and protect them and draw them under your wings. And so we pray, Lord, for the people of Haiti and Chile. And Father, we all know of people who suffer and are in need. People we know personally, with our own circle, our own family of friends, our acquaintances. People from our own church family. And the people that we care about, Lord, and we pray for, we can visualize them and we can see them in our mind's eye. And we know, Lord, that you see them. We know, Lord, that you care for them. And we know that you are aware of their needs at this time. And as we pray for them, Lord, we continue to see them. But now we see them with your arms around them, your loving arms, uplifting them and touching their lives and relieving them from suffering and filling their lives with that joy which is beyond understanding, the joy of your healing presence. as we whisper their names in our hearts, Lord. We ask you to hear our silent prayers, and we ask you, Lord, to just bless them, touch them, and heal them. We ask you, Holy Father, to lift too the burdens that are upon us, for those around us, and for those in our families and our communities. From time to time, Lord, we all have things that trouble us, that weigh us down, which seem to prevent us living the life that you intend for us. We hear your voice, Lord, as you say, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And we leave at your cross, Lord, the burdens of our heart. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to leave them there. Gracious and Holy Spirit, hold fast to us, that we might stand firm in our Lord. Be with us at all times, that we might wait upon the Lord our God. Fill us with your gifts, that we might worthily serve you, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, and as we seek to bring glory and honour to his most holy name. Almighty Father, hear our prayers. Hear the prayers of our hearts, which are born to you by the Holy Spirit. Forgive us our sins. Accept the praise we bring. For we come to you, Father, in all things, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
The gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And take note of Jesus' sarcasm at the end of verse 33. He wasn't above that. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And the epistle is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 3:17 and 4:1. "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends."
Thank you, Phil, for those readings. You know, sometimes the hymns that we sing when we are young are the hymns that are putting in the foundations of our lives, and they are often the hymns that always stay with us. And this next hymn, I think, is in that category. So we stand and we sing to the glory of God. 427. "Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways."
driving seas. Jack Palmer souls the strait and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the pulses of desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire,
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I saw the title to this message, I thought, I can't wait to hear this. I wonder what this is going to be about. The bits omitted. The bits omitted. In our churches, quite rightly, we talk a lot about heaven. And our mission, like that of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to get ourselves and as many other people as possible into the eternal paradise of heaven. But are we in our churches giving the world the full story? Or is there a bit missing? I think you all are pretty well aware that I am quite faithful to the lectionary scripture readings each week. And I stick with the lectionary readings because they provide the congregation with a balanced diet of the Word of God, the bread of heaven. And if I didn't follow the lectionary readings, then the preacher would be off on his favorite topics, or more likely avoiding his non-favourite topics. But when we follow the lectionary, we get the balanced diet. If you look again at our Old Testament scripture reading for today, it is listed as Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, and then Genesis chapter 15, verses 17 to 18. There's a bit missing. But not when you get Dan to read the scripture. He gives us the full. The reading, as it's set in the lectionary, is about good things. It's about God's promises to Abram and his descendants if they remain faithful to him. But when you see a scripture reading like this, where there's a part missed out, do you never wonder why? I mean, why miss out four verses? Why not just go through the whole thing? Give us the whole story. Do you ever wonder what's in the bit that's missing? And do you ever check up later on to see what was in the bit that was missing? And why is it missing? We talk a lot about churches, about heaven in our churches, but the Bible doesn't just talk about heaven. It talks about another place as well, the other alternative. But we don't like talking about hell, and we don't like talking about punishment. Our vision of a loving God makes the idea of a dreadful place of eternal punishment very unnerving. Besides which, if we talked about that kind of thing, it would drive people away. And we want people in our churches. The bit missed out of the Old Testament lectionary reading, Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16, is about punishment. It's about God's punishment of wrongdoers. God has just made a huge promise to Abram, which he will keep, and he does keep. Then along comes a promise of punishment, which God will also keep. The missing bit says this: Then the Lord said, Abram, you will live to an old age, and you will die in peace. But I solemnly promise that your descendants will live as foreigners in a land that does not belong to them. They will be forced into slavery and abused for 400 years. But I will terribly punish the nation that enslaves them, and they will leave with many possessions. God keeps all of his promises. And God makes promises that are good and exciting, but he also makes promises that ought to make us tremble if we are ever out of line with God's will for us. But we live in a world which seems to be full of sensitive people and sensitive governments, where we are more afraid of upsetting people's sensitive egos than we are of offending God, our Creator. So we miss out, and we don't talk about the nasty stuff, the punishment stuff. If we move along to our lectionary gospel reading, even that reading was purged of the punishment bit. The lectionary directed us to read Luke 13, 31 to 35, which is nice. It's about some nice friendly Pharisees who come to Jesus and warn him that Herod is going to have him killed. To which Jesus responds that Herod has no power whatsoever over the power and the will of God. But by omitting verses before that, verses 23 to 30, the whole point of what Jesus is telling us is missed. Here's the bit that's missed. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Are only a few people going to be saved? Jesus answered, do all you can to go in by the narrow door. A lot of people will try to get in, to heaven that is, but will not be able to. Once the owner of the house locks the door, they will be left standing outside. You will knock on the door and say, Sir, open the door for us. But the owner will answer, I don't know a thing about you. The narrow door passage, which precedes the lectionary gospel reading, tells the people of Jerusalem and everybody else who down the ages reads that portion of scripture that many people who live with an assumption that they have an automatic passage into heaven when their time comes will be stunned to learn that they are not actually welcomed into heaven. Now we all know that the Jewish people were God's chosen race. And they believed that because they were the privileged descendants of Abraham, they had a guaranteed pass into heaven. Jesus here is teaching us that salvation is a personal and not a corporate event. Your salvation is down to you. And Jesus is saying, never make assumptions. The simpler way of putting, doing what I want to do rather than what God wants me to do, is sin. We do what we know to be against the will of God. We say things sometimes that we know a Christian would not normally say. We turn away from where we know that God wants us to be. We don't like to use that word sin. It sounds so judgmental. So we come up with all kinds of euphemisms rather than say sin. We say things like alternative lifestyle or pro-choice or situational ethics. We skirt around things so that we don't offend anyone. But Jesus is quite clear. Jesus says sinners will not get into heaven, and they will be sent away in terrible sorrow and misery. And without Jesus, that means all of us, without Jesus. If we live according to our own will and desires, and if that is against the will of God, then Jesus is saying you're in big trouble. You've got to realize it. As society, we have become so convinced that we have all kinds of rights that no one, including God, has the authority to take them away from us. It's my right. How often do we hear that? It's my right. And all these supposed rights lead us to an entitlement mentality by which we have become convinced that we are entitled to get to heaven. It's amazing. We feel entitled to post no trespassing signs all over our own earthly property, and yet we believe that God has to let us into heaven. It's our right. Located on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem and the Kidron Valley, is a church which is called Dominus Flevit, if my Latin pronunciation is any good. Dominus Flevit. This is the church that you see on the screen. And the window that you see on that side of the church there, that window looks right out over the Kidron Valley and then Jerusalem. So there's the window, and on the very top is the view from that window. The church is built in the shape of a teardrop. And in your mind, you're probably putting all this together now. This church is believed to be on the same spot where Jesus stood when he wept over Jerusalem. Dominus Flevit is Latin and means the Lord wept. Inside the church is a mosaic which depicts those words of Jesus when he lamented over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood. And Jesus' next words are significant. But you were not willing. But you were not willing. I've been talking about the bits omitted. What do you think is omitted here in this little piece of conversation that Jesus had, the little bit that's not recorded? Who do you think Jesus is speaking to? When you read the text, it sounds like he's talking to a city. But who do you think that Jesus is really speaking to? Is he talking to a city, or is he aiming at a much wider audience? Jesus is looking way out over the centuries, and he is weeping for the many who still believe that they are going to heaven, but do nothing to accept or to hold on to their precious gift of salvation. Jesus is looking out and he's speaking to the centuries of people way over the centuries, and he is saying he longs to gather us in. Yet he weeps and he says, but you were not willing. And for this and for the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we say thanks be to God. Amen. And now we're going to sing, and we're going to make sure that everybody knows about the decision that we have made, because we are going to sing, first of all, I have decided to follow Jesus. We rise and sing to his glory.
I have decided.
just like to say a big thank you to Youth Praise for the way that they have enriched our worship experience this morning. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. Is anyone missing a camera? There is a camera here sitting in the pulpit, and I don't know who it belongs to.
I think that's Diana Pages.
Oh, is it? Oh, she's going to see all good gifts around us. Come from heaven above. Walk your way to her. Good job, Phil. Thank you. Thank you.